You know, in that last situation that I was describing, wherein people were, you know, leaders, Christian leaders. Could be leaders, not leaders, whatever you prefer, however you want to set it up. But followers of Christ, dedicated to serving him, dedicated to pleasing him. And a situation comes up wherein you have that opportunity to either say, yes, I will violate my ethics before God, or no, I will not violate my ethics before God. Let's just say it's an issue of integrity, and you have to lie, or at the very least, knowingly be deceptive. I said that it would take courage to exercise ethics. Now, let me tell you, if the situation were one wherein everyone said, hey, look, I can do this, and regardless of how they water it down, no matter how they excuse the violation of ethics, it is still a violation of ethics. And it would be very, very easy for people to do that unless one of the people was in total opposition to that violation of ethics, being deceptive before God, being dishonest before God. And for everyone else, it wasn't a problem at all. It would take courage for that one person to stand firm and say, well, if they want to do it, I'll leave that up to them. I will not violate my ethics before God. I will not exercise deceitfulness or outright dishonesty. That takes courage for that one person to stand out. You never know, because sometimes people who follow God can be kind of ugly. And even if they don't say anything to your face, they may have some ugly things to say about you behind your back because you stood for what was right, because you did what all of you knew would have been pleasing to God. And remember now, one of the reasons that Joseph's brothers hated him is because God had made it clear that there was a special call in his life. He gave him the dreams and showed him what was going to be taking place in the future. But another reason is because Joseph was willing to be honest when he took back the reports to his father about what he had observed when he went to check on his brothers. And his brothers hated him. Yes, it was partly because they were jealous of him. And this was an unwise decision on Dad's part, Jacob's part, to show the favoritism that he showed. But it was also because Joseph would not lie about what was going on when he went to check up on his brothers when they were out tending the sheep, the herds. And I tell you, there are people who will hate their brothers and sisters who are honest and who strive to do right, really work hard to please God. Let's go back to the very beginning and think about Cain and Abel. Cain did not murder his brother Abel because Abel had stolen something from him. Cain murdered his brother Abel simply because he was jealous and resentful of his brother, his younger brother, for choosing to please God. Now, are we going to say that God was unwise for making it clear to Cain that he needed to get things right? Cain knew that he had come wrong. He knew that his brother had come right. And instead of letting his brother be a positive, his younger brother, be a positive example for him, he decided to be jealous and resentful and envious. And he let it go to the point of murdering his brother. The tell you. And they were brothers. Yeah, it takes courage to do the right thing. We looked at this situation that involved Daniel and his three friends as it pertained to their choice not to eat what had been assigned by the king. Let's look at another situation, though, that took even more courage. It's a good thing they had that, I guess you could say, as a practice round, but it was a significant practice round that led to an even more significant practice round because the stakes became even higher. Chapter 3 of Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar was so full of himself that he had had some of his people make a 90-foot high and 9 feet wide statue of himself, an image of himself. And he wanted everyone under his authority to bow down. He had all of his people, all the people who were ruling under his authority, to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. Verse 4, again, this is Daniel chapter 3, verse 4. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. All the peoples that the king of Babylon had conquered were to fall down when the music started playing to let them know this is the time for you all to fall down and worship his image." Worship his image. In practicality, you are worshiping him. And this is what they wanted. Fall down and worship that image. But listen, there were some people who were jealous of Daniel. There were some people who just did not like the Jews, period. In fact, in verse 8, we read, "At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay you no attention, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up.'" They had a problem with the Jews. And so this was an excuse for them to find a way. This was just the opportunity they wanted to try to get rid of those Jews who King Nebuchadnezzar favored so much because they were so much more outstanding than even the citizens, those born and raised in Babylon. So here was their opportunity. These Jews set up over all these other folks. No, we're not having that. And so when the image was set up, let's go make it clear to the king that they haven't been worshiping any of his false gods, any of the demons that he worships. And now they're not worshiping his image either. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music. If you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? From my hand. What God? Remember now, Old Testament days, the peoples of the nations believed that whosoever God was the most powerful would win the wars for their countries. Babylon, out here, doing his thing. The king of Babylon doing his thing, worshiping his false gods, which meant he was worshiping demons. And most powerful man on earth. You can understand him asking the question, who will be able to, what God will be able to save you from my hand? His gods have been giving him victory over all the nations, including the nation that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had come from. Did they have the courage to take a stand this time?